Really encouraging for me to see all of you here. I'm honored to be on this panel. I'm Lauren Graber, and can I ask who in this audience is a healthcare provider or affiliated with a health center? Great, thank you for coming. And who here has heard about the concept that is group medical visits and group well childcare? Good. Thank you. So that helps me as I go forward. So I'm really excited to share with you the work that we've been doing that's really rooted in my community at Codman Square Health Center on the idea of how to utilize group well childcare as a vehicle to talk and think about primary prevention of childhood adversity and how to mitigate toxic stressors. I think I appreciate the thoughts of, you know, that it's true that, you know, we need to prevent primary prevention of adverse of bad things. This is an elusive, really hard thing to do. I feel like the part that I'm bringing to you is my experience as an on-the-ground provider and the words of the people who participated in this. And so I'm really appreciate and open for feedback sharing. I'm delighted for this conversation. I have no relationships to disclose. I think just briefly about me, I trained as a family medicine doctor at Boston Medical Center and within Codman Square Health Center, which is where I continue to work and do my group visits. We are facilitated and really supported by the Vital Village Network, which is a network within the city of Boston that really is designed to increase community capacity for social and emotional development of children. They've really fostered me in academic mentorship and further in how in making deeper community connections all around this idea of how do we further improve care for kids and families. And that's really led me into my current position, where I'm one of the craft fellows in community health leadership, and I get to spend half of my time at Codman Square and half of my time at the Harvard School of Public Health. So I think this conference is a wonderful example of, and it's so encouraging for me to be around people who are familiar with so many of these terms. I think the movement of that is trauma-informed care is spectacular in that it reminds us that the person in front of us comes to us with a background of life experiences that influence and alter and baggage that changes how they're interacting with us in the moment. And that and what that perspective does for us as providers in all aspects of our world. I think, as we've referenced a lot, the initial ACE study was fundamental in acknowledging how pervasive trauma is, even in what is considered a low-risk community, and how that translates to us in higher-risk places. And I think that this growing knowledge that we have in biology, neuroscience, epigenetics, about how these adverse childhood experiences deeply affect chronic health is fundamental for us to understand how to really reach families. So in 2012, the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with what I call a call to action about toxic stress. So first it goes and they define this idea of toxic stress. It's not only the excessive or prolonged activation of a stress response system. It's not only the bad stuff that happens. It's also the absence of nurturing, buffering protection by supportive adults. And in this they said, primary care providers, we need to identify toxic stress and we need to do something. And I felt as a provider, I've really not known what to do. What do we do? How do I take this information? What does this ACE survey mean to this family? And what resources can I pull that are meaningful? And so this project is in response to that. Briefly just talking about my community health center. Codman Square is in the Dorchester neighborhood of Boston, inner city Boston. We were founded 40 years ago with this in the social justice movement that was called the Developing Community Health Centers. And we serve a predominantly African-American, Afro-Caribbean population. 75% of our patients are at or below the federal poverty line, and well over half receive Medicaid and Medicare. The other wonderful thing about my clinic is that they support the group visit model. So for those who are not familiar with what this means, for me, as a provider of parents and kids, this means instead of going through the machine that is a 15-minute well child visit, seeing 8 kids in 2 hours, I get the luxury of seeing a kid and their parent in a group of 8 mom-baby, parent-baby dyad pairs for 2 full hours together. So this group, we not only provide comprehensive medical care, but this is about a social network and social connection that happens between a continuous, consistent group of parents and kids. So at Codman Square, we have very well-established centering pregnancy groups, our group well childcare, as I mentioned. I'm calling it group well childcare because that's mostly how it's referred to in the literature, but I'm in my head, and I hope that you all can think, I'm thinking about this as dyadic care, parent-child care. And we have Project Launch as a behavioral health group for parents. We have chronic pain groups, diabetes groups, and to be in a community that supports this type of innovation and how to break the mold of primary care has been an incredible facilitator. And our population has an incredible level of toxic stress, exposure to community violence regularly, and incredible interpersonal trauma and sexual assault within our community. So a couple of years ago, we did a community needs assessment that really mirrored these concerns, that indeed depression, mental health, and community violence were not being addressed in our health center. So I come into this world now with this national call to action to address toxic stress and that concern within my community, and that led me to this project. I should also say all of the pictures that I'm using we've explicitly consented, and the parents are engaged in this process and were really excited and honored that I got to share their words with all of you. So the step that we took was to look at creating, revising, reiteratively changing this curriculum to use around dyadic group baby, mom baby care, and with the aim of preventing child abuse and changing parent behavior. This is a messy, community-involved process with so many different pieces. What I'm doing is not new or novel. It's happening all over the country, and we are trying to pull all these different pieces together to figure out what are people doing and how does it work in our community, learning from social workers, psychologists, a lot of people who are doing this not in the medical world, and kind of figuring out what pieces can we pull. The big part that I'm interested in particularly is parent feedback. How does this work for my parents in Dorchester, and where do we go from here? And also, how can this process facilitate leadership within my community and family empowerment? And then the next step being, how do we then light a fire in providers and healthcare providers? How do we support and train people to do this type of work? And today I'm just going to focus on our curriculum and specifically parent feedback. So our curriculum, we felt we didn't have a specific curriculum that we were following prior to us taking on this project. The three areas that we really focused on in this work was to include ideas and activities that promote attachment, the concepts of toxic stress and brain development, and then how play can be used as a mediator of executive function in children. This is our curriculum overview. So each month, we meet 9 times in the first year. Each month we have a target issue and then an activity to really get at that target issue, and a teaching tangible, something that families bring home with them so that they can remember the activity that we've done. I've highlighted the areas where we've really been iteratively working, and I'd like to talk specifically about the Flip Your Lid activity, which is what we do to help mediate a discussion about toxic stress. Has anyone heard of Flip Your Lid? So it's developed by Dan Siegel in LA. He is a child psychiatrist who focuses on trauma. And I'm going to model this for you as I do for my patients. So today we're going to talk about stress. We're going to talk about how it affects you and how it affects your kids. We're going to talk about how stress affects your brain and how it affects your kids' brain. And the way I like to do this is to use your hand as a model. So would you follow along with me? So you can see, this is going to be a model of our brain. You can see kind of how it fits in your head. This is your spinal column, and the area that controls your breathing, your heart rate. Deep on the inside here, your thumb, this is your midbrain, your amygdala. This is your emotion control center. This is the fight or flight in you. This is your caveman brain, the emotional, responsive, fast-acting brain. And then your fingers curling on top, this is your frontal cortex that allows you to modulate those emotions, modulate those concerns within your day-to-day life. So you can go to a conference and network and talk despite all the different stimuli that you're receiving. So we know But in our day-to-day lives, things happen and then flip. You flip your lid. You flip your lid. And this happens to us all the time. And I mean, in Boston, this happens a lot when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you just flip your lid. And it is your animal brain, your caveman brain that is out there talking and really getting at you, right? And I was trying to think what makes public health people mad. It is when McDonald's comes out with a really compelling ad. So then at this point I talk with families, what does it feel like to flip? What things make you flip? Identifying triggers, how you get in there. And then talking about what do you do to regain your normal self? Regain your normal mind and talk about those. What tips do parents have for each other? What things do you actually do? Because for me to say, go take a walk means one thing. For another parent to say what they do with a shared lived experience, that's the meat of how this works. And then the jump that we make in this project is to think about how does this flipping of your lid affect kids? And so telling parents, it's normal for kids to flip. That's good. I'm hungry. I'm really, really hungry. You know, and that as parents, what we do is to teach them how to unflip. That part of our responsiveness, part of our support is to teach families how to respond to kids that allow them to have this brain development. But then this is where the toxic stress piece comes in that I feel like is really important for parents to know. That when kids are exposed to toxic stressors, which we talk about and define a little bit more, it becomes harder and harder for them to learn how to unflip. And they live life being flipped. And we know people like this too. And this is something, you know, we know people who flip on a dime. And what it means to try to have, you know, these are two people talking. What it means to have two people flipping at each other and how that changes brain development, changes what kids see. So this activity is a vehicle for how we talk about this with families and what part of my research has been exploring. So back to this vision. I get all worked up doing that. back to our larger picture and the parent feedback part. So we launched a qualitative focus group study to really look and talk about these issues and feel, how does this actually work here? We did get IRB approval from all of our institutions. Participants were recruited as long as they had participated in group well childcare, and we wanted this to be standard well childcare in addition to our new trauma-informed curriculum so that we could really have a melding of experiences, that what is it that makes group a place where this is okay. And I want to outline that there were really two parts to this process. So the first is a standard focus group where we asked questions like, what was the most memorable part of the group for you? What did you learn about your relationship with your baby? How does stress affect babies? And kind of trying to get some of the qualitative information about this intervention. And then the second process, we stopped and did a design process where I modeled flip your lid, similar to how I did with you all, and then we iteratively worked it to try to figure out, what is this? Does this work? How would you say this to make that activity more robust? So in qualitative research, we transcribed and tape recorded. We used thematic framework analysis with four different coders and iterative discussion to have a consensus about the themes that we identified. We had 19 participants, half of whom had participated in our trauma-informed group care. And we utilized the responses from standard group care to help us learn more about what is groups a place that this is okay? The trauma-informed groups to help us know what is value added from these different activities that we're doing, and then both really providing support in our design process. So our findings. And this is the part where I get to share the real voices of how people responded to this work. We had three primary themes from the focus groups. The first was that group well childcare is a safe space for parents to create connections that empowers them to understand and recognize toxic stress. That the group was not only a place that was safe in terms of connecting with others, but it was an okay place to talk about hard things. So one parent who had not been through our curriculum, she says, I look forward to going to my group and hearing what they got to say and letting us know that we're not the only ones struggling or going through things. We're together. So this acknowledgement that this group is all going through things that are hard is what brought this parent. And this is something that we hear, that we're in this together, that I'm not alone. Those were recurrent quotes that we had from the group. Another parent who also hadn't been through the curriculum said, I just wanted a break by myself because I was so stressed. Hope you don't do something stupid to the baby. It's not like you want to hurt your baby, but pressure can make you do things you don't want to do. And I thought, this is so powerful, because this is toxic stress, what she's talking about. She's talking about how this influences and affects her, and that this is a safe space where she can talk about and then identify this. I really argue and believe that that's the first step for people to be able to actively make change. Our second theme was that these discussions around toxic stress really enable parents to identify that they are a mirror for their child. One parent who had been through our curriculum, she says, one of the most valuable lessons that I took away from group is that I'm a mirror for my child. They imitate my behavior, so I have to be careful how I behave around my daughter and the things that I say and do, because whatever I do, that's what she's going to do. And this is something that parents get. They get that their kids are watching them. They get that their actions influence their kid, which I think is the next step in this piece towards change. A third theme, activities that facilitate reflection on relationships, like the Flip Your Lid activity, really encourages intentional parenting and alters behaviors. So this is from a participant who had not gone through a trauma-informed curriculum. Somebody was in the group, and they was telling us about that when they were little, their mom used to hit them. Not like all tap-tap, but they would really like abuse them and stuff. And I guess that affects you when you're little, and it can also affect you when you grow up. Like the way you act toward other people. So with my son, I discipline him, but I don't hit him. Because when I was little, my mom used to hit me. And I can see now the way I am with other people. It does affect me. So yeah, I don't hit my son. This is powerful stuff. That it's not our curriculum that made this happen, but that there was something about the group that enabled this discussion, that somebody could take the time to think and articulate, I can be different. Another parent, this is one who had been through our curriculum, says, it's kind of like you take a little bit of what your parents did and you give your child a little bit more than what you had. Just kind of hybrid, old school with something much more newer. You learn about different other people's disciplines from their parents and the things they want to continue to do and things they totally will not use as far as their parents. And you know, we kind of ended up saying that we want to be better than our parents, but we don't want to end up spoiling our children. So this idea that you can take what's helpful and leave what's not and become your own hybrid old school parent is powerful. So in our design process, and forgive me because I lost track of my time a little bit here, but we heard a lot of resonance of these same themes. After people had done the Flip Your Lid, they were feeling and expressing and sharing these different ideas and had a lot of resonance with the activity itself. In the activity, we give everybody our teaching tangible as a brain. It's one of those squeeze brain keychains, which we thought, well, you know, how cheesy is this? People want this. And then we heard a lot in the focus groups that it was appreciated. Every time I see the brain on my keychain. So now I have a reference to tie that back. It's helped me. Since I had my son, and knowing that I don't want him to see certain things, sometimes I do flip my lid, I'm not gonna lie. But for the most part, I try to think about that. And I swear, every time I see that brain, I think of the day we talked about that. It keeps me grounded. This is another participant who had not been through the trauma-informed curriculum. And about her reflections. If you get so mad to the point where you just throw something across the room and break it, your child is sitting there and they're watching it. So when they get upset, they're going to throw things and they're going to break things because they're watching you throw things and break things. It's only going to be natural for them to copy exactly what you're doing. That's why it's important to talk about it and get it under control and find out ways to how to deal with it so you're not showing your child that it's okay to act like that. I feel really excited by this change that I've heard in my patients. I'm really eager to talk with you about what change you've heard in your populations and how we can integrate this. And these things have sort of stimulated me to create a new theory of change about why I think group care is important. So first, group care, in its essence, provides community and social capital to people that goes deeper than any interaction I can have in a one-on-one well-child visit. that the identification of toxic stress means that you can identify the impact of the stress on yourself is an important link in being able to understand what the next step is. The mirror that you recognize the impact that this can have on your kids is the next one. It doesn't affect me, it affects my kids, and then the next being behavior change. How can I think about how can I change my behavior to support my kid? Because all parents have hopes and dreams for their kids, and that's the end game where they want to be. So our next steps, we're continuing to iteratively redesign this, and I'm eager to share and hear what pieces are helpful and get pieces from you all. We do have a parent advisory committee board that is active from these groups and continuing to shape our work. And I want to acknowledge all of my wonderful collaborators and supporters. I want to really acknowledge Morgan Brockington, who's here in the audience, and my wonderful mentors, Salam Roder-Dewan and Renee Boynton-Jarrett, who've been really fostering me in this work. Please be in touch with me. Take my email. I would love to connect with you. Thank you.